Go. Welcome back to Hoops HD, everybody. This is our Wednesday evening Under the Radar podcast coming to you old school again. It's the second time this season we've gone the old school style, just me and David, how we started the show off 10 million years ago. You can check out the archives way down there on the website.
Yeah, don't bother. They're really bad.
They're really, really bad.
Yeah. I think we said that last time, and you know, last time the show was bad. Tonight's show is probably also going to be bad. We might be joined by Stalika. What time is it now? I think it's about 9 p.m. Eastern time. We're expecting him home around 2 a.m.
Yeah.
If we're still going, he will join us.
Yes. Yes. The invite is out for him. So around 2 a.m. when we go into about our seventh hour.
Yeah.
He'll be there. But I'm Chad Sherwood. He's David Griggs over there. This is the Under the Radar podcast. And David, for those of you that don't know what Under the Radar is, first of all, why the hell don't you know? You should have been watching this show all season. Yeah, Second of all, why don't you explain to them?
Well, yeah, if you don't know, then why the hell are you watching? It's essentially the 22 regular one-bid leagues or the Under the Radar leagues. There is 10 conferences that regularly send more than one team to the NCAA tournament. That's the Power Five, the Big Ten, Big East, Big 12, Pac-12, and SEC. And then there's five other – I messed that up again, didn't I?
Ted shows we talked about Monday night, so go find out what they were.
So, and again, Under the Radar conferences can send more than one team. There's no rule that says they can't. In a given year, we'll see probably three or four Under the Radar teams inside the bubble or anywhere between one and maybe four or five. This year, it doesn't look like there's any, but anyway, that's what Under the Radar is.
Right. And what we like to do is start out with a feature conference every week, and then we're going to go through the rest of the conferences, the other 21, well, no Ivy League this year, obviously, so only 20 others besides right. our feature in alphabetical order.
There's 21. There's regularly 22.
Normally 21 this season because there's no Ivy League. But before we get to our feature conference, we did a blind resume on Monday night. I want to start this week's show off with a blind resume as well, David. I want to let you take a look at these because obviously I know what's teams there already because I set it up. But just, you know, as this comes up on the screen for you here, take a look at these two resumes and tell me the left or right, just with what you can see on the screen here, who do you think is a better resume? Which team do you think would have a better shot at making the NCAA tournament right now?
Well, left. They've got it's the left is a little more top heavy, albeit not extremely top heavy. You can't really get it like 69 on the road is okay. 114 on the road is okay. I still like the one on the left. No real bad losses on either one of them.
Yeah, the one on the left does have that neutral loss to 122, but there's a tier three loss also at home on the team on the right.
Yeah.
And there's nothing on the top two quadrants of the right. So they shouldn't even be team considered for an at-large bid, in my opinion, at least. You want to take a guess at who they are?
I'm good at this when we're starting to do brackets. It's just that I haven't done one in a couple of weeks.
We'll go ahead and pull this up here. On the left, we've got the Toledo Rockets out of the Mid-American Conference, which should be caught up on the screen any second now.
Good team, Toledo.
And on the right, we've got the number 19 AP poll Duke Blue Devils.
I would have guessed Duke, but it's under the radar, so I didn't know if you were going to pull that stunt or not. But, yeah, I like Toledo, at least on paper, a lot better than Duke.
A lot better than Duke.
Yeah. The win at Marshall, I think that's Marshall's only home loss. The win at Kent State, I don't know if it has the legs to stay in Quad 2, but still better than the best team that Duke's beaten on the road. And I know it's Notre Dame. Yes, Kent is better than Notre Dame.
And Kent is better than Notre Dame. I'd argue Cleveland State is better than Boston College.
You look at some of these losses here. Two of the three losses. Well, one was to Michigan, who, you know, Wisconsin also got blown out by the other night. Xavier and Bradley, both those games down to the last possession, Chad. I think you and I watched both of them. So this Toledo Rocket team really is good and really should kind of be getting some looks, I think. So good choice.
Yep, and of course the Mid-American Conference is our feature conference with Toledo up there. Real strong week, blowing out Ohio on last Friday. Then Tuesday night they crushed Eastern Michigan. So they're not just beating everybody; they're just rolling through this conference so far, David.
Yeah, they really are. And not a team, I think in the preseason we were really big on Bowling Green, kind of a story, who's not doing bad. I mean, only a game behind them, still in the race. But when you, in again, Ohio had such a good showing early in the season that we really liked them a lot. But all in all, like right now, just nobody seems in the same universe as Toledo.
Yeah, Bowling Green suffering a home loss by 24 points to Ball State this on Tuesday night. You say, well, maybe Buffalo's a good team. They had a COVID shutdown. They did go 2-0 this week with Ball State and Western Michigan as wins. But did we like Akron? We liked them for a little while. They lose a game to Eastern Michigan and Northern Illinois this week. I'm done with them after going 0-2 this week almost. Not even that they're losing to the Buffalo, Bowling Green, Toledo's. They're losing to the three Michigan schools in Northern Illinois, the bottom of this conference.
Yeah, and that is the bottom. We've seen good teams in Michigan from this conference before. There are not any this year.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's looking more like it's Toledo and everybody else. Maybe Bowling Green or Buffalo could still get back in this as we go along. Confident that anybody else is any good here at this moment.
Right. And our friends on the committee, if they're watching, and I think some of them actually might be, how about Toledo? And, when you look at that resume, while they haven't really beaten anybody inside the bubble, they have won a couple games that are hard to win against teams that are really good at home. So,
Yeah, they've got an interesting week. Coming up Saturday, they're at Akron, and then they're hosting Central Michigan on Tuesday next week. So chance for another road win here, at least on Saturday.
Yeah.
Also in this conference, you want to circle this Friday night game, Bowling Green at Buffalo, because it's probably the battle for second place right now.
Yeah, probably so. And, anyway.
All right, then I guess we'll go ahead and run through the rest of the leagues here. We're going to jump back to the America East and start there. Conference that we, I guess Vermont is finally maybe turning things around a little bit because they were able to win at Binghamton, they're kind of out of it still too, so I don't know what to say.
Yeah, Vermont just real anemic. Part of that is circumstantial, I think, just not being able to play any out-of-conference games. It was the team that we liked the most. A lot of other schools were able to get on the court a lot more than they were. I think that's affecting them a little bit, but that's only a piece of it. The other piece is that they even with all of that rust, they still haven't looked that good. And yeah, while they did win against Binghamton, it was Binghamton.
Yeah. Albany played St. Joe's at a last minute scheduled non-conference game on Saturday and hung in there with the Hawks, but
we're not able to keep St. Joe's from picking up their first win of the season.
Yes. So. I guess we want to look through Wisconsin. UMBC real, real good this week though, with that road sweep at New Hampshire.
Yeah, they really are. This is a New Hampshire team that had a lot of legs, or so we thought. So UMBC, I know Stony Brook's sitting there at the top of the standings at 4-0, but I really like this UMBC team, the Retrievers.
Yep, the Retrievers are now they've got Hartford for two at home coming up this weekend. Vermont is hosting Maine this weekend.
It should be a couple more wins for Vermont.
A little asterisk by all these games. Some of them may obviously get canceled. Some of them may already be canceled. Rocco Miller from Bracketeer.org, who's been joining us for these Under the Radar podcasts, couldn't join us tonight. He keeps a lot more up to date on last minute cancellations than either of us do.
So. If you don't follow him on Twitter, you need to, because he's just a wealth of information when it comes to especially a lot of stuff, but particularly when games are canceled. Yeah. He hears it before that's where I get the news from.
he hears it before the schools even cancel the games. Yeah. He knows that they've
right. Yeah. Like schools call him and say, hey, is our game canceled? I mean, that's how crazy it is.
The games to circle this weekend though, New Hampshire and Stony Brook playing each other, the New Hampshire team, he won't write them off despite getting swept. So if they can go in there and beat Stony Brook, but Stony Brook sweeps them, they're right back on top. Again, assuming Stony Brook is out of their paws and actually playing games. Who knows?
Right. One more quick question, Chad. I know we got to move on. We're used to seeing this conference, with the exception of the one UMBC year, on the 12 or 13 line. I'm not seeing that this year. We've already moved on to the next league.
Yeah, I did flip over the next league. I'll flip back here. You know, if somebody like you, if somebody could run the table for the rest of the, for the rest of the season, I could see a 13 line here.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, it literally means Stony Brook goes undefeated in the America East, for example. I mean, that type of run the table.
Yeah, okay.
And I don't think it's possible. I think these
no.
are too evenly matched for that.
Yeah, not quite as strong from top to bottom as we've seen it. And even the year UMBC got the 16 seed, Vermont was probably positioned to be close to a 12, really. They were good that year. I think that's kind of been forgotten because of what UMBC did to Virginia. But that was not typical of this league to be on that line.
Yeah, no. It was because of a major upset in the conference final.
Yeah, it was, yeah.
Liberty did come out and, we'll say that Rocco couldn't be with us tonight because last week he said that Kennesaw State was a team to watch in this conference. We laughed at him. They went out on Friday night and gave Liberty a hell of a game, almost pulled it off, lost by 6. Played again on Saturday. It wasn't quite as good. They had a little more trouble on Saturday in that 76-47 loss. But Liberty, you know, three-way tie for first place based on their early loss to Lipscomb. But I still think this team is far and away better than anybody else in this conference.
I do too, and I mean far and away. I think that I know that they had the one loss, but I think they're just going to sprint away from everyone. A little bit of a shout out. Or a comment here on Bellarmine. I am a little surprised that they haven't been better. I didn't think that they would be as good as Liberty or win the league, but I thought that they'd finish in the middle or higher.
They're only 0-2 in the conference. Their first two conference games, and they were a pair of home games this week against Lipscomb, and they were right in both those games. So
yeah, they were.
I think they showed me a lot this weekend, despite losing twice, and I think they will win games when they start playing the Florida Gulf Coast and Kennesaw State.
They'll beat those teams. Yeah. So, good. But yeah, just so far, just one D1 win for Bellarmine. But I agree. I think as they get into conference play, I think they'll be able to beat the bottom half of the league, even as a transitional team.
They are at Gulf Coast this weekend. We'll see, you know, Gulf Coast, I don't know. They haven't played a conference game yet, assuming those games are good. Liberty at Stetson, the other two games to look for this week, again, if they even happen.
Yeah.
The Big Sky Conference. Southern Utah is now 9-1 overall. Now, granted, three of them were non-D1 wins. The two wins this week were at home against Idaho, but they're 9-1 overall.
Yeah, and I'm enjoying the story so far. I don't know if it will be able to last the whole season, but God, it's been fun so far. Southern Utah, previously one of the worst programs in Division I, I think they won the Centenary at least once, didn't they?
Yeah, our Centenary Award, you can see it up there on the website. Every year we give it to the worst team in D1. They are a former winner of this award.
Yeah, which is a bit of an oxymoron calling them winning the Centenary Award, but
the Centenary Award, I don't know what you call it.
but 9-1 on the year, and I realize that they've played largely the bottom of the league, but still, what a story. Even if they I would have considered it a noticeable improvement even if they'd finished third or fourth in this league. Here they are in first place.
They're in first place by, you know, they've played two more games than Sac State and Montana State, who are tied right below them. So, I guess the other story this week, Portland State laid a major clunker, losing a home game to Northwest Nazarene. I don't know. That was pretty pathetic by Portland State this week. But the upcoming schedule of this conference, Southern Utah is at Eastern Washington.
Yes.
So these games are go. This is a huge series. But it might be the top two teams of the conference.
Yeah, it might be. And you know, Eastern Washington, a little bit disappointing overall so far, but still with a pretty high ceiling. Still the probably the best overall team in the league, if we're being honest with this. So if Southern Utah can even just get one of those, that is a huge statement for this program that, you know, this is not just a good week at the office where they – got ranked high early and then tapered off. Like, if they can win one of those, I think it's a sign that Southern Utah will be in the race the rest of the way.
David, I just noticed that the pace we're going, I don't think we're going to be still going at 2 a.m. when Sleeka gets here. So in order to slow things down,
yeah,
let's do it at the very end of the podcast. We're going to come back to the Big Sky, and you're going to give us 2.5 hour preview of the Yellowstone Christian at Weber State game. So anyone looking for that, come to the end of the podcast. David will be doing 2.5 hours on them.
Okay, Yellowstone Christian, do they got a basketball team there?
You got about 45 minutes to figure it out.
That's not just under the radar. That's buried 500 feet below the surface. Yellowstone Christian.
Okay. Big South Conference, Winthrop. Another pair of wins, this time over Gardner Webb this week. Now 11-0, undefeated, one of the very small handful of undefeated teams left in the entire nation.
Yes, a really good Winthrop team that, one vote in the AP. You don't want to overstate it when you start talking about them on a national level, not just an under the radar level. But I think the nation needs to realize that this is a good Winthrop team and that they are undefeated. And that really nobody, I think somebody in the conference will beat them. I don't know who, but no one is as good as they are.
Oh, they're not going to be playing Radford until the end of the season. Radford is already proving that they are the second best team in the conference.
Apparently. Yeah. Unusual year for this league. If you look at the conference standings, normally at this point, the 11 teams are separated by one or two games. It's not really until the last game of the year that there's three or four games separating the top from the bottom. A lot of parity in this league in a general year, but this year, not so much. Charleston Southern, what the hell has happened to them? Well, we were expecting quite a bit out of them. They're in the running for the Centenary. Good grief.
Well, look at the way the schedule's set up this week. They're supposed to play Thursday, Friday this week, and Tuesday, Wednesday next week. So we could get, assuming games don't get canceled, we could get four games out of everybody here in the next next 7 days. So
right.
Winthrop getting scheduled right now for Longwood at home and Presby on the road. So they should be undefeated by the time we do our next podcast.
Yeah, I would like to see Winthrop get some more notable out-of-conference games. Anyway, for obvious reasons.
But wait, if you're playing four games in 7 days, you don't have any way to squeeze those games in, David.
Yeah, but I mean, maybe at the end when, I hope they're able to get something before the end of the year.
Yeah. Over the Big West Conference, UC Irvine has been the story so far. They are now 3-0, having picked up a win over UC San Diego. They're scheduled to play them twice. The Friday night game actually got canceled because of a potential contact tracing issue with San Diego that then cleared up, so they were able to play on Saturday. And got San Diego its first D1 game finally.
Yeah, relative to what we're talking about. Normally one of our favorite conferences, a lot of good rivalries and exciting play in this conference. You kind of hate to see that it's been decimated a little bit. Everybody's been affected by it, some more than others. This league, top to bottom, probably more than others.
I got to mention UC Davis is in one of the worst spots of anybody in the entire nation. They are, under their county's rules, not allowed to play home or road games at the moment. We don't even know if they're going to get their schedule. Now, there has been some talk that the county is going to be loosening the guidelines in the next week or so. If that happens, maybe they can finally start playing again. If it doesn't, UC Davis might be done at 2-2 on the season.
And you kind of hate to see that. Like, they were a team that I don't think any of us thought they'd win the league, but we thought that they'd be able to make some noise this year. But the Eaters, again, after not looking that good, at least to me, in the very small number of out-of-conference games they played, really, really looking good in conference. I think, again, it was an issue of rust. The teams that they were playing were just a little more sharp, having played more. And now that they've kind of worked that out, they look better than anyone else.
You've got to talk a little about Riverside, though.
Yes, and that was a really good story for them. This was a university that it had been proposed that athletics be cut altogether, which is that is really gut-wrenching to all of us when we hear something like that. You don't want to see that happen to the players, the coaches, the community, the fans. I think that how unfortunate would that be? But coming out here looking really good, having some big at least by under the radar standards, wins. And then going in the USC last night, God, I wish they would have pulled that out. Nothing against the Trojans. I've got no issues with them. But taking them to overtime.
Absolutely had a shot to win the game in regulation.
Yeah, had a shot to win it in regulation. They had the ball when it was tied on the last possession and had a chance to win the game. Played a phenomenal game. I was impressed with their defense. USC, a pretty good offensive team. Riverside shut them down. And that was the first time – I mean, I'd seen Riverside play, but this was the first time I saw them take on what is clearly a tournament-caliber team. And, God, this Riverside team is pretty good.
Yeah, they really impressed me. I can't wait to see them get matching up with Irvine. They're not scheduled for that this week. In fact, Irvine does not look like they have any games this week.
Right.
They may have been Davis's scheduled opponent is my best guess. Riverside at Cal Poly, assuming those games aren't go. Bakersfield could become the first D1 team to go to Hawaii during this COVID season. So we'll see
Find
out if those games actually happen.
Yeah, over Christmas break, which was long, you almost wonder should the whole conference had gone to Hawaii. They've got Maui, they've got Hawaii, they've got arenas out there.
let's jump over to the Colonial, which has been a conference that's kind of been disappointing. But Northeastern did get the sweep last week of Hofstra. We talked about it. I think we did our show on Thursday last week, so we talked a little bit about that first win. They followed up with the second win, though, on Saturday. And, now it's
Northeastern, a team that Rocco always likes. He's been with us for I don't know how many years. And however long it's been, he's been – You know, praising Northeastern, and this year he's right again after a really unspectacular run out of conference, looking better than anyone else in the conference. Hofstra, the team that we thought would be top of the league, beating them twice. College of Charleston also coming to life here all of a sudden, Jed.
Yeah, they pulled off a what was a 1-point win over over the weekend. But I want to pull up Northeastern's profile here. You see the record there 5-5, but I mean, other than the Old Dominion game, they played quality teams. All five losses were on the road. West Virginia, Syracuse, Georgia.
Yeah.
A decent UMass team, not a great UMass team. But
not a very good
UMass team. But, you know, it's I don't think they I'm trying to get to it here is that they may be 5-5 overall, but their non-conference losses were fairly solid.
Yeah, and again, you can't really fault anybody for losing at West Virginia, and they kind of did hang in there with Syracuse. Yeah. So, again, getting better, improving as the year goes along, probably the class of the league right now. Again, we mentioned this about the America East. It must be some geographic oddity. Well, no, this isn't so much in the Northeast, but a conference that we're used to seeing 12-13 range just not looking like they're going to get that high this year.
No, it doesn't. Again, Northeastern, though they continue to win, they could. Their net is the highest net in the conference, for example.
Yeah.
Their strength of schedule, very good at 34.
Yeah.
That will obviously go down a lot as they play these games. But they're at College of Charleston for a pair this week. If those games happen, that's a big pair of games actually in this conference at the moment.
Yeah. Get your Flow Hoop subscription ready. I think it's free, or is it? I don't know.
No, I think you got to pay for that one. I think it's like 10 bucks a month or something.
But yeah.
It's worth it for what you get for the Colonial. And they throw some MEAC games in every now and then as well.
This is bad. Like I think all of us max out all the subscriptions. I can't keep track of what's free and what isn't. I just know that I get it. So,
Conference USA.
Western
Kentucky. We talked them up so much early in the season. They had the split with Marshall. We said it's okay. They match up well on paper with Louisiana Tech. We thought they'd be able to take care of a pretty good Louisiana Tech team this week. They squeeze out a Friday night win, and they then turn around and lose by 5 on Saturday. And I'm very disappointed with I think the team is tons of talent and not very good in-game coaching, quite honestly.
And again, you mentioned like they didn't look that good on Friday either. For those watching on Facebook Live, I guess it was, but Western Kentucky, we've seen this from them before where they appear at least when you look at their roster and their personnel, they appear to be superior to everyone else in the league by a mile and should be an at-large caliber team. And they'll get out there and they'll play some good out-of-conference games and even win a few of them. But then they get in the conference and they do some things that just have you scratching your head. Now, I'm not trying to beat up on La Tech. La Tech is a good team. They deserve to win those games. But when you're putting Western Kentucky on the pedestal that we were, the number one UTR team, the one that we thought if anyone's going to get in the bubble or into the top 25, it's them, you expect them to beat everybody in this league, minus maybe one or two trip-ups. And we're just not seeing that. Again,
well, if you're gonna Western give them two Kentucky – If you're going to give them two trip-ups, they're done.
Yeah. Right, and again, underperforming in conference. We've seen it from them before. We're seeing it from them again. How about a team that isn't underperforming? Marshall looking really good. UAB.
Marshall had the week off because of COVID, yeah. from North Texas, who was supposed to, maybe not,
yeah.
Whoever was supposed to be their opponent was out. But UAB, 2-0 in conference, not in one overall, David.
Yeah, I know. And again, not against the toughest schedule in the world, but still a really good start for UAB. So when you start looking at teams that you like in this league, I know Marshall didn't play last week, but I like what I've seen from them so far. I believe they beat Toledo, a team we kind of opened up with earlier. So I'm big on Dan D'Antoni's herd this year.
Toledo actually won that game first.
Oh, Toledo did. Excuse me. Okay, yeah. So
but it's just a second. I got to apologize here. I mentioned earlier that Western Kentucky lost to Marshall. Western Kentucky lost to Charlotte.
Yes, it was Charlotte in the opener.
And I think we got to give a 3-second shout out here to Charlotte, who then proceeded, followed up from beating Western Kentucky last week by playing Belmont Abbey.
Yeah.
At home and losing 75-72.
Yeah, not the best loss. I still like Marshall, even if they did.
And I don't like Charlotte. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Let's take a look at the upcoming schedule here, I guess, in this conference. We've got Western Kentucky's week is now at Marshall coming up this week.
Yeah.
They go home and home, but home and home against Marshall this week. UAB is at Charlotte, which Charlotte probably win both those games the way Charlotte's been playing so far this year.
Right, just real schizophrenic there. But a big, big week for both Western Kentucky and Marshall. I think Marshall could win both of them. Really.
I think it's a triple header. I think they actually play three consecutive games here, but that one of those might be wrong here. I'm not that certain. Conference USA has such weird schedules this year with their last second division ad and all of that, but it's at least on the corner of the screen, they're supposed to play three times, so who knows?
Yeah.
We need Rocco to confirm that.
Rocco.
Or can we just wait for Stalika? He's real good with schedules.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Stalika will be joining us later.
Horizon League, Cleveland State now 8-0 in conference following a sweep of Northern Kentucky, and I'm sold on the Vikings.
I am too, more so than I was before. I mean, I was pretty much all in on Wright State, but how can you not be all in on Cleveland State? And they've been playing some of the better teams in the league too. It isn't like they've been beating up on the doormats. What a showing. And from a team that just a couple years ago didn't even make the Horizon League tournament. I mean, what an ascension we've seen there.
Yeah, a great, great story there in Cleveland State. Wright State actually split at home with Youngstown over the weekend. So they are now two games back in the loss column.
Dennis Felton's the coach there, right? Am I going crazy? At Cleveland?
Is he?
Somebody looked that up.
Yeah, well, get Sleeker to look it up for us. I completely blanked on who their head coach was. I was going to say the same thing. But let's, Dave, why don't you talk about the upcoming schedule here in the Horizon League, which should be coming up on the screen right now.
Well, again, big week between two of the better teams, Cleveland State at Wright State. That has first-place implications. If Wright State wants any shot at all at keeping pace, you almost think they need both of those because even, if it could go out to a four-game lead, and they're just not going to catch Cleveland State if that happens. So that's probably the big series there. I don't see any centenary award-caliber games.
Dennis Gates. I knew it wasn't Felton.
Dennis Gates. Sorry about that. But doing a really good job there. just watch another show if you're watching us. Like, we try and give the guy a compliment. We can't even get his damn name right.
And, you know, Youngstown State, Mike Krzyzewski, the coach there at Youngstown.
Mike Krzyzewski at Youngstown State, doing very, very well.
John Calipari's doing a great job at Milwaukee. Yeah.
How about Jerry Tarkanian at IUPUI, having a really rough year this year?
Yeah, how about James Naismith at Detroit, right?
James Naismith at Detroit. Or Mike Davis at Detroit. Man, just having a rough – oh, wait, Mike Davis actually is at Detroit.
Let's move on. David, you just take the next topic. I'm walking away.
Maybe we should just stop. It's gone. It's
there's the Ivy League. As we said, not even there. Let's just keep
right.
Let's talk about an undefeated team. The 4-0 Siena Saints finally got on the court and are looking really good so far.
They are. And this is really, really impressive because, like, they were the team that I think all of us liked the most coming into the year in the Metro Atlantic. Didn't get to play any out-of-conference games. And I believe they were the only team in that situation. So you would expect them to be at a huge disadvantage when they finally did get to get out there. But, you know, they haven't lost any yet. And I really like this Saints team. You hope they can get some out-of-conference games just to kind of put some distance to themselves and to make them easy for the committee to evaluate.
Agreed, and I don't know if they will, but
it's
going to be really strange. What would you do with an undefeated Siena team that is, 19-20 and 0? Not a non-conference win, only played these other 10 teams on the screen here. I don't know. It's very
clear.
Just going back, fixing another error from earlier in the show. Western Kentucky is playing Marshall. Marshall's at Western Kentucky on Friday night, at Marshall on Sunday. That is the series of two games this weekend, assuming they're a go. We're trying to get things straight out here. We do get you good facts. We just are very delayed on them.
If you think, like, we normally record for 3 hours and edit the show, you should have seen the stuff we took out.
Here's the upcoming schedule. Siena is at Ryder this weekend. St. Peter's and Iona coming up as well here. St. Peter's team has fallen apart a little bit after a pretty good start. Let's jump over to the MEAC. This is the other conference that was not all the conference off Flow Hoops, but occasionally a game. Flow Hoops has like a game of the week or two games every week on this conference.
Yeah.
And they did have the pair of games for this weekend between Morgan State and Norfolk State that ended up being a split, David.
Yeah, big surprise for me. I really like this Norfolk State team and thought that they would blow through, well, both of those. So, and now I'm starting to wonder, well, is Morgan State any good? And you got Coppin State at 2-0 there, but hasn't really played the heart of the conference, I don't think.
Kind of, kind of a so what there on it.
Yeah.
Now, the way the conference is playing these games, you are only playing teams within your division, which means actually the five Northern Division teams are going to be playing more games than the four Southern Division teams in conference play even. So we're never going to know who's better between North Carolina A&T and Morgan State or Norfolk State until the conference tournament.
Yeah, real bizarre format there. I don't know.
Really, well, it
cuts down on travel, I suppose, and I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. But there is the upcoming games. Morgan State is hosting Coppin State this week, while Norfolk State is at Delaware State, again, assuming these games go ahead.
Right.
Howard, of course, we mentioned this on Monday night, hosting Notre Dame on Monday.
Yeah, and again, you kind of feel happy for Howard in some sense. It's a nice showcase game for them. It isn't anywhere near the showcase that it would have been under normal circumstances with them being at full strength with Maker, but still a cool moment for them and a tip of the hat to Notre Dame for agreeing to play that game. When they agreed to play it, they didn't know there would be a pandemic and that Maker would be hurt. So. Right.
They're playing that game, and it is going to be nationally televised as well, I think, on Fox, actually. So on Monday afternoon, Martin Luther King Day. Missouri Valley Conference, we were so excited last week, David, about the Loyola Chicago at Drake pair of games we had coming up over the weekend. And, of course, Drake goes on shutdown. Loyola does reschedule, got a pair of games against Indiana State in, at least, but – so much for that Loyola Drake series.
Yeah, you hope it gets rescheduled.
Meanwhile, Indiana State with a big upset on Sunday, knocking off Loyola, who had been preparing for Drake and got the trees instead.
Right. Indiana State's first conference win. Really, really rough night for Loyola Chicago, when you were starting to think, are they good enough to maybe get inside the bubble? Probably not with that. The trees are terrible.
Yeah, but meanwhile, Missouri State very quietly now 8-1 overall, 5-1 in conference.
Apparently, yeah, real quietly. Yeah. I mean, not that Valpo is any good, but yeah, pull them up a second. It has been a little bit of a pastry cart for Missouri State, but still, they kind of snuck up on us. A team that we really weren't paying attention to that you kind of have to now.
Yeah, look at that profile. Honestly, I still have Duke up there on the screen. I like it better because they only have one loss versus three,
Yeah, and they've got some chances coming up here. Southern Illinois has shown some signs of life. They've got – when do they finally play Drake or somebody?
I don't even know if that conference – if that schedule there is correct, because I thought that they were doing the doubles in the Missouri Valley.
So yeah.
Don't trust that schedule that you
said. You know what? Turn off your computer right now. Don't watch the rest of the show.
Well, you're the one that told me to call it up, to pull it up, David. I'm
going
to blame
you. No, not you. I meant – no, we're going to keep going. Oh, okay. I meant those watching at home.
Just whatever you want to do, don't watch this show.
Yeah.
Just about 5 hours of sleep against you. Northern Iowa at Loyola coming up this weekend. Drake, I believe, is still on shutdown. I do see them listed for next Wednesday at Southern Illinois, so they haven't technically taken that game off the schedule yet.
Yeah.
If it actually happens or not, though. Evansville and Bradley, Valpo and Southern Illinois, Indiana State, Illinois State. Definitely the Northern Iowa Loyola games are probably the ones to watch, even though Northern Iowa has really been disappointing this season.
Yeah, real.
Due to injury. But
due to injuries. They've just been plagued with injuries. It's to the point with Northern Iowa where you're like, well, if they can get healthy, they're going to be really good next year.
Healthy, they're going to be really, really good in the Missouri Valley Tournament.
Right, yeah.
And we may be picking this team if they're healthy to win the Missouri Valley Tournament, despite maybe a third or fourth place finish.
Yeah, or a fifth or sixth.
Seventh or lower, they have to play the extra game, assuming the tournament goes ahead as normally scheduled.
Our favorite league.
Northeast Conference, and let's talk about the Bryant Bulldogs, because this team is looking better and better every time I see them. They looked really good against Central Connecticut. It's not a great team, but has shown a little bit of life this season. Did not show any against Bryant this week.
Yeah, Bryant just – and this is a league with a lot of parity. You don't really see somebody run away from it that much, and who knows, we might not see it this year. But Bryant, six games in, looking really, really good.
And, of course, the congratulations to Mary Mack. We mentioned this last week. We did record on Thursday, so they played that first game. They got two games in, no longer undefeated. They did lose a conference game to Sacred Heart on Friday. But, it's such a fun league to watch, especially when it gets going. And I think that they're scheduled to be back, actually, I believe, tomorrow night here. Thursday night they are.
Yep, Thursday and Friday.
Friday's is scheduled right there, at least for the moment. We see, as far as Bryant goes, they're at SFPA, so that should be a pair of wins.
Yeah, should be. Yeah, I think.
Only team St. Francis PA can beat is Pitt. So,
just an unbelievable. So Bryant most likely moving to 7-1 in the league after Friday.
Yeah, jump on over here to the Ohio Valley Conference, where Belmont, also another team that's really looking good. They beat SEMO on Thursday and then took care of UT Martin over the weekend and are now 6-0. 2.5 games up on the undefeated, on 1-0 SIU Edwardsville, who's been shut down since before Christmas, and still has two more weeks, I think, until they play again.
They're set to go tomorrow.
Are they set to go? Their game for tomorrow is off. I did see that earlier today. They're off again.
Really?
Yeah. Edwardsville has been struggling. I'm pretty certain they're off, but we'll double check on that.
Okay. Yeah. We'll have to double check. I could have sworn that they were back on, but anyway, yeah. Evansville hanging tough in there. 1-0 just, you got to love what they're doing while they're shut down. I mean, you got to take your hat off to them, because Chad, they're still in second place. With that 1-0 record, I mean, they haven't.
I don't know if it's due to Edwardsville or due to Eastern Kentucky, but that game is off for tomorrow night. They're supposed to be playing Eastern Kentucky tomorrow night. It is off.
Okay, that is interesting. Okay, but anyway, Belmont again looking like the class of the league, and you still wonder, like, do they have enough to kind of get there? Their metrics aren't as high as you think that they would be since they're 12-1, but still just a really good, really dangerous team. In Eastern Kentucky, you just mentioned 11-2. One of those losses was to Xavier. I forget if it was in overtime or if it was on the very last play of the game, but really hung in there. So the Colonels, another kind of team to kind of watch there.
Yeah. Okay. Look, especially the Eastern Kentucky game for tomorrow is off. Belmont at Tennessee Tech, Belmont at Jacksonville State coming up this week. Again, assuming any of these games are a go. Yeah. But really, when you get beyond, honestly, Belmont and Eastern Kentucky, I don't think we really believe Edwardsville is going to stay up there once they start playing.
No, but it's fun to act like yeah.
But, you know, I mean, there's a group there in Moorhead, Austin Peay, Jacksonville State, Eastern Illinois that are good, but I don't think that they could compete with the top two and definitely not with the top one.
Probably, I agree with that. Like, those teams are kind of good enough to, you know, maybe beat up on each other, but they're not good enough to keep pace with Belmont. Or Eastern Kentucky.
Jumping over to the Patriot League, that has the distinction of being the only league with teams that intend to play the season that still haven't gotten a game in, as American and Loyola are still trying to find a way to play. But you see what the lack of playing games also does with some of the metrics. Look at that Colgate net of 20. They're almost a protected team if you go by net. They're not. It's just they've only lost one game. It was to Army team that picked up a couple notable non-conference wins, so it gives them that high strength of schedule. You look at Lehigh right now, number one strength of schedule, but it's because of, you know, just the fact that they're not playing games and the metrics just getting out of whack.
Right, yeah, I mean, everything kind of out of whack there a little bit, but I don't know what to be. I mean,
the story is Navy so far, really.
It is, and what a good story. You kind of wish it was a normal year where the league was playing just its normal traditional double round robin, because Navy and Army, but especially Navy, a lot of fun to watch. And I mean, as fun as they are to watch, you know, watching them play American and Loyola 18 times is going to get old.
Yeah, I think it's Army and BU that are scheduled to play 6 times during the regular season. In fact, 2 of those games coming up this weekend.
Yeah.
Navy is supposed to get American at home for a pair. I don't know if those are happening. I don't know if American's out of their pause or not, but if they are, then American will finally be on the court. Same with Loyola.
Yeah.
How about the SoCon? We saw a couple of really good games today. I think we saw 3 pretty good games today, starting with Furman at the previously undefeated Citadel team, who had coming off a huge win over Chattanooga on Saturday. Finally, the Citadel fell today, though, for the first time.
Yeah, I got to tip my hat to the Citadel here, because I thought Furman would just blow them off the court, but they hung in there, and that was a fun game to watch. And the whole time, it's like, man, this Citadel team might not finish 10th.
I don't know that they will. I think I've been impressed with them. I'm pretty impressed with VMI even in a losing effort today. They were right there with a half decent Wofford team. And then Chattanooga and Mercer gave us a pretty good game. That Chattanooga did everything they could to try to blow the game, including turning it over with 10 seconds left in the game and up 5. But somehow Chattanooga held on to win that game.
So in looking at Chattanooga and Mercer, who played tonight, when you looked at what they did out of conference, these are two teams that we really, really liked coming into the league that have underperformed, to say the least. Now, Chattanooga doing substantially better, but Mercer, you know, this is a team that beat Georgia State, beat Georgia Tech, was really, really looking good. And my God, are you holding your nose when you watch them play in this league? Good effort tonight, but they lost 0-3 in conference play. After looking like, you know, we were ranking them as high as 2-3 in the under the radar poll for a while.
Yeah, we were. We've got the upcoming schedule here on the screen. I see Furman has East Tennessee State and VMI this week. Again, assuming these games are a go.
Yeah.
Take a look at those upcoming games. But Furman really is the story of this conference at this point. I mean, this team is still a team that, I mean, they may have to win out till the conference tournament championship game, but I think they would get a look from the committee, at least.
Yeah, and if you pull them up real quick, Chad, like out of conference, they had some opportunities, and you kind of hated that they missed them. And when they did, it was I think that I was a little quick to write them off because I was so big on the Furman team. That Alabama game, they kind of – I remember thinking that they had totally blown that one, that it was a game they should have won. But if you've been watching Alabama really all year – they're really, really good.
So maybe the Cincinnati game may be the one that bites them at the end.
Yeah. But two of those losses are to really good teams, that Alabama and Winthrop, and one of them is crap. A Cincinnati game where, you know, they kind of – they just didn't play very well and they kind of blew it.
Yeah, it'd be nice to see if – I don't know that they can squeeze another non-conference game in. It's kind of a shame they played three non-D1 schools also.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
I would like to see them get one more chance.
Yeah.
Now, I would be screaming about it any other year, but this year I'm not going to be screaming about those non-D1 games this year because of how hard it is to get any games.
It is, yeah.
Southland Conference, there's a few scores that have gone final since we started the podcast here. The only one of note is Stephen F. Austin is now 3-0.
Yeah,
a win over Lamar. Was a pretty good Lamar team. They are 3-0. Texas A&M Corpus Christi is in the process of. Actually, they're in a fairly close game late with Southeastern Louisiana in their first conference game in of the season. Finally, but we have three undefeated teams here: SFA, Abilene Christian, Sam Houston State. Although SFA may be turning red fairly soon if they get their request to not play this season granted.
Just a hilarious, bizarre story of them, opting to delay a postseason ban and now wanting it back.
It does make sense to want it back for this year. Not only because, you know, Abilene Christian, I think, is a markedly better team than them. Sam Houston State might be better. I haven't seen much of them. But this year being so weird, you know, why not get it out of the way?
Right, yeah. Abilene Christian, I really like them. I haven't seen anybody else in the league that I like as much as them. It wouldn't shock me if they sort of sprinted away from the conference and ended up like 18-1, 17-2, something like that.
Well, I'll tell you what. Next Wednesday, it's as far as the schedule right now, Abilene is supposed to be at Sam Houston State. That might be one of the top games of the season here in the Southland. So circle that one here for next Wednesday night.
Yeah.
Well, I should be talking about it next Wednesday because it'll be going on probably as we record our show.
Right, yeah.
Southwestern Athletic Conference, the good old SWAC, is coming up on the screen here, which still has one of our undefeated teams in the nation in Alabama A&M, although they still sit there at 2-0 that they play one game a month.
yeah.
And ineligible. But as far as the what we thought was going to be the game of the season so far, and it ended up being a Prairie View won by 4 over Texas Southern, but they were up a lot more than that. They actually, because Texas Southern came back late to make a little bit of a game of it, David.
Yeah, they did. And again, I think those are going to be ultimately the two teams that we see at the top. Southern might have something too. But nice win for Prairie View.
Yeah. Again, Alabama A&M. Can we finally get them another game here? Let's see what's on the schedule, at least for coming up here. They are scheduled for Alabama State on Saturday. We'll see if they
can get a little Magic City Classic action going on there. The two teams that are in LA. Are we going to get a SWAC bonus game, a third Magic City Classic?
We probably should.
Yeah.
Prairie View, I guess, and Texas Southern both going to be playing next on Monday. I don't know. Prairie View's got Texas Southern is Grambling here on Saturday as well. Prairie View has
updates.
So, you know, we'll see. We'll keep an eye on those games. But over in the Summit League, South Dakota State is still saying they are 2-0. Played a few less games in North Dakota State and South Dakota. But South Dakota, a pair of road wins this week at Kansas City. North Dakota State took care of Omaha. South Dakota State took care of Western Illinois. I think these are the three teams this season, David. And especially because I don't want to write off of South Dakota because the fact they beat South Dakota State in a non-conference game earlier in the season.
Yeah, you don't want to write them off. You don't want to write off Oral Roberts either. Right. You know, we've kind of talked about them, and while I don't think they're quite as good as
that loss at home to North Dakota on Friday night really, really kind of stunk.
Yeah, I still think that they have a high ceiling. I don't think they have quite what it takes to keep pace with the rest of the league. You can't write off the Yotes. I just thought South Dakota State all day long was the class of the league and under the radar top 10, perhaps even good enough to get inside the bubble if everything kind of fell right. But if you're going to say that about them, how do you not say that about a South Dakota Coyotes team that's 4-0 in league play and has an out-of-conference win against South Dakota State? So, man, after sort of an anemic start, the Yotes are really hot right now.
Yeah, we will not be seeing the Yotes this week. They are off. I don't know if that's a shut, not the same as a shutdown, and just the way the schedule fell. But because there are nine teams, actually, it doesn't look like they're off because there's nine teams, and so with the double up series, there's always going to be somebody off every weekend. So the Yotes have the weekend off, but it's the Jackrabbits that are in Omaha. North Dakota State's at North Dakota. That's always a good rivalry game there,
too. Yeah, that is a good one.
That's a real good rivalry, especially now that they're both in the same conference. Oral Roberts and Denver, not a good rivalry.
Oral Roberts, Denver, not a good rivalry. If you never watched the North Dakota, North Dakota State game, turn it on.
Yeah. And if you've never watched the Oral Denver, Roberts,
Oral Roberts, Roberts game, game, don't turn it on.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, my God, it's a comedy of errors tonight.
This is the Sun Belt Conference. We're sitting here with this Georgia State team. Still is the team that I'm really, really liking this conference. They didn't actually get any games in this week. Coastal Carolina, the team we've kept an eye on a little bit, got a pair of wins over South Alabama, though. And Little Rock picked up a win at Louisiana and a two-point loss as they continue to be a head-scratching team.
Yeah, Louisiana maybe a little bit better than we thought. I still think Little Rock should have won both of those, but I'm actually going to give some kudos to the Raging Cajun for that one.
They're a pair of very good games. They both were two-point games.
Yeah, they were both really good games, and Louisiana's played well, not just in that game, but at other points of the year too. So maybe kind of keep an eye on them. But I'm with you. I still think Georgia State is the best team in the conference, and like that will ultimately be who runs away with it.
If anybody runs away with it, yeah. Georgia State's supposed to be hosting Coastal Carolina. A pair of what could be very good games coming up this weekend if those games are a go. Little Rock hosting Texas State in there as well. Louisiana, you mentioned, is at Arlington.
Yeah.
Over in the Western Athletic Conference, we talked about UC Davis's struggles. Here's another conference with a team that you just, I mean – New Mexico State just cannot get games in, and it's almost heartbreaking at this point in time.
It really is, and they've tried everything. They've tried going to different cities. They've tried playing at NAIA schools. They just can't get on the court.
They can't. Dixie State, by the way, as we record this, at halftime, down one at home against New Mexico, the Lobos. Mountain West Conference. So Dixie State looking to pick up will be their third D1 win already. Really played well so far in their first D1 season.
Yeah, they really have. And you got to keep in mind, like a transitional team. We've seen some transitional teams play really well, like, Grand Canyon, of course, who's not transitional anymore and perhaps one of the best teams in the league, maybe the best this year. But, you know, we saw Merrimack finish first in the Northeast Conference. We've seen good play out of, Cal Baptist, also in this league, has played well at times, although they're struggling this year. Are better teams transitioning up? Is that what it is? Because remember when NJIT and like Savannah State and those teams came up, it was ridiculous.
Yeah, no, I think we've seen a lot more quality than the transitional teams in recent years. They have the upcoming schedule in the conference. Grand Canyon, who's tied for first place, is hosting, that's not quite a WAC team, is it? Bethesda University twice.
No,
Friday
it is.
And Saturday.
It is.
It might be.
The way the WAC works, I think that might be a WAC team.
Utah Valley at Seattle with a couple of games getting in there. Seattle finally got those conference games. UTRGV is supposed to be playing, hosting Dixie State. Just a quick note, there's a press conference actually scheduled for tomorrow, either noon or 1 p.m. Eastern from the WAC, where they're going to be announcing some major changes. We're looking at a whole bunch of new teams that might be coming in. I don't know if it's next year. I think it's going to be 2 years away, but a handful of teams from the Southland that are supposed to be coming in along with Southern Utah. So
major
changes in the conferences. They're looking to go and add football as
They are, and this is a big deal, and I don't know what – let me see. Grand Canyon does not. Utah Valley does not.
There's rumors of Grand Canyon thinking about adding football, actually, too.
I
don't know if it's true, and it might be totally false, but it's just a rumor I heard.
But, like, not many – does Tarleton State and Dixie State
– Tarleton State and Dixie State both play football.
Okay, and they have to play. They have to play FCS football because they can't be D2. So right. I mean, I'm assuming they're FCS independents. That is the rule. If you are Division I in men's basketball, you have to be D1 in everything. If you watch some of the other sports, which you know, hockey, soccer, lacrosse, you'll see D3 schools be playing at the D1 level, but you can't do that. You have to be D1 in everything if you're D1 in men's basketball.
Right. So you know, they're, you know, keep an eye out for the news from the WAC tomorrow, though. It's there's a big change is coming here.
And are we finally getting some stability here? And I do have a question, Chad. Yeah. I don't mean to put you on the spot here, but it's what everyone wants to know. Can Chicago State win the Centenary?
It's going to be tough here because 0-9. They're not playing. 0-9, but they're stuck at 0-9. They might be if somebody like a Delaware State or a South Carolina State goes 0-18, 0-19. I gotta go 0-18 or 0-19 over an 0-9 team any day.
Yeah, I think you're right. It's hard to win that.
It's kind of like you know, we mentioned Siena earlier. If they go undefeated in the Metro Atlantic. Say they're undefeated. They should be a one seed, right? No, they shouldn't.
You're right. You shouldn't be. It is. It just goes to show you how hard it is to win that Centenary.
It's not easy. Unless they've won it a couple times already. We got to.
Yeah, I know. Right.
Last conference. This is an automatic bid league. We have confirmed it. The first conference had a rough week. Look at that. We had only four and four for non-conference games for the front range teams.
Yeah, but Colorado winning a big out of conference game there at Oregon or against
home Oregon. Against Oregon, then one that followed with a win at Utah. Colorado State with the sweep of Vegas, but Northern Colorado got swept. Air Force lost. Wyoming lost. And Wyoming as we record this, Wyoming is losing again to Boise State tonight as we record this. So
yeah. So again, you know, an automatic. Well, yeah, it's an automatic bid so long as it's Colorado.
Hey, keep an eye on Colorado State. Keep an eye on Colorado State. Here is the upcoming schedule. Let's see, do we actually have any conference games coming up this week?
There
it is, Saturday, Wyoming at Air Force. Yes, we have conference action.
We have conference action in the front range.
Saturday, Monday, twice, Wyoming at Air Force. Keep an eye on it. It is front range conference action.
Wow.
Air Force getting their first conference games in.
All right.
Let's go to our under the radar top 10 list.
This
is our top 10 list. Our colleague Rocco Miller did vote with us this week. So we have
he's not watching anymore. he stopped after probably the American.
he stopped after we introduced.
We got the conference USA. He's like, I've had it. I can't take anymore.
All right. David, honorable mention, seems like God votes but did not make our top 10.
Okay.
We have Cleveland State just missing out, Marshall, Siena undefeated, Georgia State, we like Navy undefeated in conference with one loss.
Yeah, Eastern Kentucky, all right.
Brian, UMBC, Gonzaga?
Yeah, you got to like the Zags. I mean, you know, they're ranked number one.
I didn't vote for the Zags. I don't think they were eligible, David.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they're eligible for honorable mention.
Okay. Let's go to our top 10 here. Missouri State coming at number 10 there. Strong record in the
– Yeah.
Especially off
after – Oh, good. No ties this week. All right. South Dakota State.
South Dakota State.
The I still Rabbit. Like this team. I really like this team. I think they're going to blow through the Summit League.
Mm-hmm. No ties this week because I decided to break all ties. I have a secret formula. I just let the computer pick them at random. Belmont's coming in at number 8 there out of the Ohio Valley. We talked about how much we like this Belmont team.
Yeah.
And at number 7, we've got Liberty.
Yeah, Liberty. We didn't talk about them. Well, we did when we were in the A-Sun. But, again, still probably the best profile. And I think by the end of the year, their record will be nice and bloated.
Yeah, I agree. And we got Western Kentucky still in the top 10 despite losses in back-to-back weeks. I would have had them a few maybe barely 10th, but you and Rocco definitely liked them better than I did.
That's about where I had them.
Furman coming in fifth place here on the strength of that huge win over the Citadel today, which
clearly
was a big factor. Number four, we've got Loyola Chicago still way up there despite the loss to the Trees. I think this team is still deserves to be up here despite the loss.
That was my thing too, because like, are we rating paper? Are we rating profiles? Are we rating how good we think the teams are? Is it a mixture of all three? With me, it's sort of a mixture of all three, and I kind of gave them a mulligan against the Trees. This is a really good Loyola Chicago team that just had a bad game.
Coming in at number three, the team we started the show off with, Toledo.
Yeah, I like to see them up that. Yeah, I like to see them up that high.
Number two, the undefeated Winthrop team that we talked a lot about as well. We took a lot.
Wow, not number one. Okay,
deservedly not number one. Number one is Drake.
Drake, yeah.
The Drake coming in there at number one, I think absolutely the best team, and they're the team that has the best shot at getting off of this board if they can get some games in and get into the top 25.
Yeah.
Sounds on that good. Note, David, I think we're done. I think this show has been a complete travesty. Do you have any other final thoughts you want to end with?
No, I think it's time to stop before we make it worse. It's the plane has hit the mountain. It's time to stop.
Unfortunately, it's not quite 2 a.m. We came about 4 hours short. I guess Sleek is going to have to join us next week. But actually, we'll be back tomorrow night. We're going to be recording another podcast. It's going to be our first bracket rundown show of the season.
Yeah.
We're going to be building a seed list on the air and then bracketing it up afterwards. And
going
to do a mock up, a very, very short version of what the committee does in real life. And
Hopefully it'll be far less of a travesty than what tonight was.
There's no way it could be worse, I don't think. But on behalf of David Griggs, I'm Chad Sherwood. And I think I got to say, just like I said the other night, that of all these Under the Radar podcasts we've done going all the way back, David, this has been by far the most recent.
Yes, it has. It has that distinction.